Bom dia a todos.
Good morning, everyone.
Um prazer aqui fazer
It's a
nossa primeira
pleasure to
divulgação
have
de
our first
resultados
earnings call here
pós-IPO.
after the IPO.
Estamos
And
bem
we
felizes
are
com
really
o andamento
happy
das coisas.
with
Foram um
the
trimestre bem
progress. This was a
tumultuado,
quarter that was very
mas
turbulent,
acredito que temos
but
boas
I
notícias
believe
para
that we do have
compartilhar.
good news to share with you today.
Renan, você consegue passar o.
Renan, do you think,
Bom, então, para aqueles que são novos investidores,
for
né,
those
vale
of
a
you that
pena
are
dar
new
uma
investors,
contextualizada
it's worth
naquilo que
it
é CLSA
to give you some
Compact,
context on
né?
ClearSale and what it is. We are focused on avoiding
Fraude do tipo de
fraud
roubo de dados,
and
né? Quando alguém usa informação de
identity
terceiros
robberies,
para
when
fazer uma
people use
fraude,
third-party
especialmente
information for fraud
a fraude de
purposes,
cartão de crédito
especially
ou
credit card
imóveis, mas
fraud
também
on e-commerce.
comportamentos fraudulentos do
And
tipo
also
autocarro,
fraudulent
quando a
behavior like
pessoa usa o
self
próprio
fraud,
cartão e depois diz-se que não
where they use
reconhece
their
a
own card
conta,
and then they say
lembrando
that they
que toda
don't
essa fraude
recognize
fica
that
por
purchase and all this fraud is
conta.
positioned in the
O
e-commerce
mercado tem
environment.
sérias
And the
dificuldades em
market has
lidar com
serious
fraude,
challenges
então nada impede
handling
recusas
fraud.
a
So
pessoas que perdem
when in
dinheiro
doubt,
ou
they refuse
perdem
transactions with
vendas
money
boas,
also.
perdem bons
They
clientes
lose
ou
good
perdem
customers, good sales, and
danos de imagem. Por isso a ClearSale faz tanta
have
diferença na
damage in their
participação
image, and
dessas
that's why ClearSale
companhias.
makes such a difference in the
Lembrando
results
que
of the companies.
o triângulo a ser perseguido, né, para
And
fazer uma boa gestão de fraude é
the triangle to have good fraud management really
índice de
is
fraude
having
mínima,
a minimum fraud rate.
ao mesmo tempo que
And at the
se
same time,
tem a aprovação
when
máxima,
you
a
have
taxa de
the
aprovação
maximum
máxima.
approval rate,
Só um minuto. Bom.
Wow, just a minute.
Então, embaixo à esquerda aqui,
So here on the left
tem
bottom
índice de
side,
fraude
you can
mínimo, ao
see
mesmo
the
tempo que tem
minimum
elevada
fraud rate,
taxa de
and
aprovação
while you
máxima.
have the
E o
maximum
menor
approval
tempo de
rate,
resposta e a
and the
menor
lower
rejeição.
response time, and the
Quando a
lowest
gente pensa
friction
em
possible.
aprovação, é
When
óbvio
we
que
are
tem que
thinking
pensar
about
também em
approval, of
bom
course, we
gestão.
must think about conversion,
Se a companhia
because
coloca
if the
muitas
company
etapas para
places
conclusão
too
de uma
many
compra ou de um
phases to perform
cadastro,
the
o
conclusion
cliente
of this
pode
purchase or
desistir.
registration,
E
the customer
aí
can just give
desiste
up.
na hora que
And they can
vê
give
que
up
todo o
right
custo desistido
when all
e
of
já
the
foi
acquisition
gasto,
costs were already
né?
spent.
E a gente falou muito no
So, we've
roadshow com
talked
os
about this
investidores
during
que
the
ClearSale
roadshow,
trabalha para minimizar o custo real
that
de fraude,
ClearSale
né?
really intends to
Investe até 1 bilhão
minimize
de
the
reais
real cost of fraud. We
em empresas perdem
have
dinheiro
some
com fraude
case
e
studies where
4 bilhões com despesas
where companies
excessivas
lose money with
gastando
fraud,
de bons
ineffective
clientes
losses,
reputados com
transactions
falso
of good
positivo,
customers that
custos
are
com
refused, which is
fornecedores
what we call false
externos,
positive
custos
costs with
internos de
external
prevenção,
suppliers and internal prevention costs,
custos de
and
prevenção à fraude,
with the
e a
prevention
gente
team.
consegue
And
focar em
we
aprovar mais
are
do que
focused
deveria
on
ser
improving more, and with this, we
o
can
custo total
reduce
de fraude
the total fraud cost.
em qualquer região que a gente
In any
testou, né?
region we've
Que é alvo
tested,
de fraude que a gente chama, e a gente é obcecado
and
para
we
manter
are
os bons
obsessed with
pedidos
approving good
usando
order,
toda a tecnologia
using
e
all of
inteligência
the
disponível.
technology and human intelligence we have
Contando um pouco
available.
da nossa história
So
aqui,
now, just a bit about
em
our story
2005 a
here.
gente
In
vira uma empresa software as a service,
2005, we become a
começa a
software as a
ter
service, a SaaS
o
company,
e-mail de rede,
and we start having the network effects and the shared and cross base,
alguém faz uma
which is a
fraude
single base. So when, if
numa
someone has a
e-commerce que você
fraud
não consegue
in
perceber
e-commerce, they
por
can't do this
porque eles
afterwards
estão
in another one.
todos sendo visualizados pela mesma empresa que é a
Because
ClearSale,
they're all being seen by the
começa
same
com um
company, which
suporte
is
de inteligência
ClearSale.
artificial
And then you
nessa
have
base.
artificial intelligence with this
Em
base.
2008, a gente terceiriza a gestão de risco, né, sendo
And in
responsável
2008,
pela
we
aprovação de
outsourced
cada
this
pedido
risk management
e pelos
with
indicadores
the
de fraude de
responsibility for each
aprovação. Então,
approval
no
for each
final, a gente tem
order. So at the end of the day,
the
we
game
say we
com
have
vocês.
skin in the game. So
Eu sou responsável por
I'm
captar os
responsible
clientes, então
for the customer's
eu tenho
results.
que resolver todas as
And so
fraudes
we
do
had to
Brasil desde
solve all of
então,
the fraud in Brazil ever
desde
since,
2008. E para isso a gente
2008,
começou
and that's when we began
teve que construir vários componentes
building
tecnológicos,
many
por exemplo,
technological components
device fingerprint,
for device
segundo
fingerprint,
fator de
the
autenticação,
second
etc.
authentication factor, and so on.
Depois disso,
And then
a
after this,
gente começa a trabalhar
we
com um
began
suporte, né,
working
que é uma
with
implementação
onboarding,
fora do application,
which is what we call fraud application, where someone has to try to register or buy products or services or telecom services or open up a checking account. And then in 2015, we take part of ClearSale, which is the e-commerce work with the non-on-site credit card transactions to the US and then Mexico. In 2017, we started working with credit scoring, also because of the richness in the database. In 2018, most of the onboarding processes and registrations are done on mobile devices, and especially onboarding on telephone apps. And then we reached 2020 with this exponential growth in the revenue and the technological network that we use to build our diverse solutions, such as the Data Trust, which is a frictionless solution with maximum approval and a very low rate of fraud. So we had our IPO based on the CVM 400 instruction on the 30th of July. It was the day of my birthday as well. We listed on Novo Mercado. It's listed on B3 with very unique rules with maximum corporate governance. The base offering was 1.1 billion. We had a primary of 625 million and a secondary of 509 million. And there's still going to be the green shoe of approximately 170 million. And at the opening of the bid, when we opened up, it was like 20% high valuation. So we became a real unicorn at the moment when we were able to, when we were listed and negotiated and traded for the first time. The use of proceeds is 50% for organic growth. So a lot of investments in commercial teams and all of the supply chain that this involves, such as teams with artificial intelligence, IT teams, and so on. 20% was for our open innovation area so that we can incubate many different options we have on our database, and 30% for inorganic growth, and to also take advantage of the market opportunities and accelerate our roadmap for products. So now about the qualitative aspects and some achievements that we recently had in e-commerce. We, with the meetings we had with investors in the roadshow, I said we always had needed to innovate to avoid churn, and that's when we started working with the second authentication factor on WhatsApp, which also increases efficiency and precision, and it reduces the need for human intervention. We had many evolutions in this quarter with SLA products to service other segments. We had many upsides. We also had biometrics tests for pickup from store operations. We also had a shift in our phone system to VIAL, which has a better quality in the calls with the human analysis, and also to avoid SIM swap fraud, because we're going to know exactly the date when that phone chip was switched. This is work. This is going to be valid for e-commerce as well. We also have the data trust evolution with the implementation of biometrics and modelization of the components. It may seem simple, but this is what gives you the scalability when you have all the components in a modular manner, and you can really produce these solutions for the customers. In open innovation, we also repositioned the fraud of small businesses as what we call business trust. And we intensified some research in different efforts and areas to work in, such as the health insurance field. And even though it is a challenge and we were very much questioned about from the end of June 2020 to June 2021, we grew 63% in the year in the amount of IT professionals. And we grew 35% in our commercial structure. And I want to remind you that we had an LTV on the customer acquisition cost that was pretty high. So we should invest more in the commercial structure, then we should continue to invest in this front, especially with the LTV upon the customer acquisition cost continues to be high. So we had a 30% increase June against June. In the international expansion, we were a little more discreet, but we did hire two sales heads in Mexico. One is enterprise and some other partnerships, and then many different actions for people, diversity, and culture, which is our guiding force. When there was the opening of the discussion of the discourse at B3, we said that our biggest challenge was to ensure that nothing changed in ClearSale, and to maintain our growth DNA, and also a flu vaccination campaign, some diversity groups as well. We were able to keep up on the list of the best LGBTW, and also our climate survey reached an NPS of 85. So the question is, would you recommend ClearSale as a best place to work? And we had an NPS of 85, which is really high. And just 1 second. So with the, as an employer brand, our initiatives to attract talent really sponsor the campus party and also set a partnership with Furia, which is a air sports team. And we had some charity work with the donation of some basic food baskets when the pandemic was more severe in the initial and the second quarter. And each of the employees would donate 25 reais, and the other company, the rest of the company, would complete this with 75 reais. So it was very successful, this campaign. And moving on to the highlights of the second quarter of 2021, we grew our net revenue quarter upon quarter of 35%. And I'm just going to remind you that now we are comparing the period in the pandemic compared to another pandemic period, which is different than the first quarter when I would stop and compare a pandemic period with a pre-pandemic period. And then we grew 82% in the first quarter. This was very significant, as you'll see in the amount of orders that don't grow. And it was also really levered by what we always said was our main avenue for growth, which was the onboarding revenue, so quarter upon quarter. And here you can see the pandemic is not moving in our favor, really. It never did. But even so, we were able to grow 56% year upon year on onboarding, and it becomes our more and more an important avenue for growth and also very relevant revenue for ClearSale. Adding e-commerce, even despite the absence of significant growth in orders, we still grew 31.6% year upon year in Brazil and 20.1% year upon year internationally. This was a little more discreet due to the valorization and the current depreciation. If it had been more stable, maybe we would have grown about 32% in line with Brazil. So in new sales, we simply brought in more recurring contract revenues than the entire last year. So 5.9 million compared to 5.4 last year. And if we were to compare the first semester entirely of 2021 compared with the entire quarter of 2020, we grew 125% in new sales. And we only grew the commercial team in 30 or 35%. So our LTV upon the customer acquisition cost, even growing more than double what the same period last year, and also more than the entire last year, there it should have had increased and reduced even with the increase of the commercial strength and sales force. So the cost of expenses, we grew 51%. We were 71%. We were able to bring in the team from IT and analytics and redirection the human analysis to the biggest needs we had. With the intensification of the second year in the pandemic, the adjusted EBITDA, even despite these increases in costs and expenses and the structuring of the IPO, we had a positive EBITDA of 21 million and 19%. And even in the quarter, when everyone was kind of busy with the IPO, if we were to use the growth and the growth of the EBITDA margin, we have 54, which positions ClearSale as, according to the 40-plus rule, as a company that is a very attractive company, even in the first quarter in the IPO process. So in regards to the growth of the net revenue, as I mentioned, 35% year quarter upon year, upon quarter. And naturally, this was levered by the fact that in the first quarter, I grew, if you take a look over here, I was growing at the moment of the pandemic compared to a pre-pandemic period where the involuntary volume of orders had grew 61%. And we had grown 82% in revenue in the first quarter. And now that the volume of orders grew only 9%, we were able to still grow 35%, really levered mainly by the highlight here. If we can take a look at the results in June of 2021 compared to June 2020, what was our biggest avenue for growth, and there's a lot of room for growth. But here you can see we're growing almost 73%, but also in all of the other avenues for growth, such as I had mentioned. So we did not expect, as you've seen, we did not wait for the IPO to accelerate this process in the company because we are cash generators. We just reduced our EBITDA to have more growth, and this is a very successful measure. So if you take a look at this, new sales, we grew from 2.6 million of added contracts that are recurrent till the first semester of 2020 till the 30th of June to 5.9, as I mentioned, greater than the entire last year. And here you can see our growth of 66% internationally and 70% on board and 400% in e-commerce in Brazil. And if you remember that the increase in orders did not happen, two effects did occur. One is that we're being able to bring new contracts, and also as the increase in orders did not grow as much, a big issue, which was the internalization, is happening with greater outsourcing with ClearSale. So this indicator here, and this is in monthly recurring revenue. So this would bring to next year, if there's no churn, about 71 million in ARR. And this is comparable to our churn rate, which we were able to reduce even more in the first semester compared to the second. So if we analyze what we added as new revenue with sales compared to what we lost, the net revenue growth would be 5.5% that we're adding. So 5.9 million of recurring monthly contracts, and we only lost 400,000, which would give us a forecasted churn of 2.8. And we believe this is more of a contextual issue, and it was even too low. And I just want to remind you that we also grew in the amount of customers. Of course, the onboarding has a larger average ticket. We brought in almost 1,449 customers with a churn that was really low. So in regards to growth and maintenance of the customers, we were spectacular. Actually, just to remind you that we just in the first semester we sold more than all of the year of 2020. So we have in the semester a growth of the net income, and that all almost went sideways. But if we're structuring the company for growth, we had to first of all readjust the amount of human analysis specialists because we had a second wave, and only in the second quarter were we actually able to actually have the human analysis offer proportional to the demand and really make all the indicators for our customers in that on the track for that. And so our churn rate was really low. We reinforced this as well with major costs through our analytics IT team, and we've been able to bring in these professionals, which of course has costs. And we also have some duplicity because we're also migrating to the cloud, which generates additional costs. And this, of course, affects the margin. The percentage gross margin drop 8 percentage points, which was completely expectable and planned. So, in regards to expenses, we had an increase, an occasional increase because of the IPO. So non-recurring expenses like consulting services, support for preparing for the audit and so on. And besides this, we also reinforced our commercial structure, and we're going to continue to do this because our sales are healthier. And we also have some readjustments, administrative readjustments due to the IPO and to also support the growth. So we need the IR to really bring in all these people. We also have an IR department now. And if we did not have these costs and we kept up as we were before, then we would have some growth of about 25%, and this would provide some scale to the company, which is not the case because we want to structure ourselves to be able to accelerate this growth even more. Even so, as I mentioned, we generated some EBITDA, and even so, in the semester, we grew the EBITDA compared to last year, really favored by the high EBITDA in the first quarter as well. So the final remarks here and message is we promised to the market that we would reduce our EBITDA and increase our growth. And we were very effective in doing this because we were able to increase about 30-35% of our commercial sales force. And we also increased new sales by 125%. Of course, we grow less this quarter than in the last quarter because we consider a social isolation comparison against non-social isolation comparison. So there was a pandemic and pre-pandemic period, but it's very healthy growth of 35%. And we did all of this before using the IPO proceeds, and we were able to really focus on this because we're cash generators. So we focus on our two main avenues for growth, which is onboarding in Brazil and e-commerce in Brazil. We already had our initial initiatives in our strategy for international growth, structuring our senior sales force and team for sales in Mexico, which still does not bring in significant results. But now, with the IPO proceeds, we should continue this acceleration process and also get into more acceleration with the Open Ovation. So with this, we are opening up for Q&A, and I want to thank you all for your time and attention. Thank you. So now we're going to begin the Q&A session, which can be submitted in writing or through audio. To submit a question, please use the Q&A button on the Zoom app, clicking on the icon on the bottom of your screen. If you would like to participate by audio, just write on the Q&A that you would like to participate, and your microphone will be opened after this, when your question is announced. The question may also be submitted in writing, typed directly in the Q&A field.
No Nossa primeira
Our
pergunta
first
vem de
question
Ernesto
comes from
Gabilondo.
Ernesto Gabilondo.
Vou abrir o chat de
I will
Ernesto.
open up his mic now.
Ernesto.
Ernesto.
Hi, good morning, Bernardo. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Perfect, thank you. Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America. Congrats on your IPO. Thanks for the opportunity. And a couple of questions from my side. The first question is if you can provide the EBITDA margin for Brazil and the international market as of second quarter. I'm just wondering if you can provide this type of information in your future quarterly releases. Then my second question is related to the international market. We have seen Riskified was listed in the US market. So do you consider it as your most direct peer? And what will be Clear Sales strategy in the US? Would you like to be in the top three, or you feel comfortable to be within the top five? Any color on this will be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to address, thanks for the question. I'm going to address your second question, and then I'll call Renan to talk about the first question. So Riskified is one of our competitors, but due to the focus on region, the one that's the one that we consider more as a direct competitor, where we have the commercial disputes on new sales, is Signified, and they have a similar business model than ClearSale, but we have a low churn rate in the US, and we usually generate a better true cost of fraud. And usually, when they shift from any competitor to ClearSale, they don't leave, and this is demonstrated by the churn rate. And we are not worried about being the third or the fourth. We are always worried about quality and delivering the best true cost of fraud, because there is no sense in selling in acquiring new clients and providing a worse service and then have a high churn rate. And as far as I know, most of these competitors works on losses, and we work on profit, and we use our proceeds to grow in a sustainable way. So Renan, I think that we do have the EBITDA separated by Brazil and international. Do you have it, or is it on the release?
Yeah, we have on the really high, Ernesto. Thanks for your question. We do have the EBITDA from the Brazilian operations on the release, which was 26.8 million in the quarter, representing a 26% gross margin. You can consider by the financial statement, basically, the controlled company is the Brazilian operation. So you can have this proxy by the financial statement.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Lembrando que para fazer perguntas, basta
clicar. Remember that if you have any questions to submit, please select the Q&A icon on the bottom of your screen, typing the question in directly or requesting participation via audio.
Temos mais uma pergunta de Thales
Granello. We have one question from Thales Granello. Good morning. Congratulations on the results and for the IPO. Could you provide more details regarding what we should expect for the gross margin and EBITDA for the next quarter, please? greater leverage operationally throughout the next quarters, and the end of migration of the cloud should lead to margins at levels that were in the second quarter of 2020. Thank you. Well, as Thales, I don't know if we talked during the roadshow, but our strategy is compression of the EBITDA, which also goes through a gross margin compression, because most of the professionals in the IT segment and AI are costs and not investments. And we are structuring this to have an improvement in the product, service customers better in each segment, operate in new segments as well. And all of this, of course, pressures the cost, besides the structuring of the company for growth, which pressures expenses as well. So we're already expecting an EBITDA compression and throughout this and the next year, and exchanges in the growth that has been coming in, so that after we could go into gross income or gross profit levels and EBITDA levels that we had previously. So maybe if I could just add on to this point, we also had the cloud impact with some cloud cost duplicity that consumed 2.5 million in the quarter, and this represented almost 2 points in margin consumption, which should continue until October this year. Once again, excuse me, I'd like to remind you that if you have any questions, you should click on the Q&A icon on the bottom part of your screen, typing in the question directly or requesting participation via audio.
Temos outra pergunta por escrito.
We have another question in writing from Danilo Vici. What justifies the amount of transactions growing 9% and the revenue at ClearSale growing 53.7%? Apparently, I understand that there's an increase in the average ticket. Does this make sense? Yes, that does make sense, because when a customer has part of their management in-house and then decides to outsource all of the management with ClearSale, this increases their average ticket. But besides this, this amount of transactions could also be smaller, and it's not dropping that much. I just want to remind you that now we're already present in all of Brazil with physical retail open, and the amount of transactions is not dropping. So new sales are also helping the amount of transactions keep stable. So these are two combined effects, and one of these you're right about, which is contrary to what was questioned before about if there was like an internalization with greater actually disinternalization or more outsourcing. And besides this, we were still able to replace part of the orders that should be on a drop with new sales. Excuse me, once again, I'd like to remind you that if you have any questions, please select the Q&A icon in the bottom part of your screen, selecting the typing in the question directly or requesting participation via audio. Since there are no other questions, I would like to pass on the word to Mr. Bernardo Lustosa for his final remarks. Well, I think I've already made my final remark. So really, I just want to remind you that we are at a quarter where we don't have social isolation, but we're comparing with a quarter last year with social isolation, the drop in the orders should drop. But even so, we're able to have new sales on e-commerce that helped the orders on e-commerce grow 9%. And we were able to increase our revenue in more comparable basis by 32% in e-commerce, which is the same in international e-commerce. And also, as I had mentioned, we have been exchanging EBITDA for growth. And this growth is coming mainly through the onboarding process, which we always mentioned had a lot of market growth opportunities. And we grew about 70% semester upon semester with added revenue and recurring monthly contracts. So all of this was done, making us really happy with the expected results and demonstrating many different things that we were questioned about in regards to opportunities in the market in Brazil, if there was some kind of saturation in e-commerce and if there really was that much market share to capture. But the commercial and sales efforts have been providing excellent results till the end of the first semester, which was 30th of June. We sold more than the entire last year, so our LTV on customer acquisition cost has actually gone up, which will obviously make me have to invest more and more in commercial and sales force since the revenue is not paid on the same day. But of course, we're going to have some margin compressions, but we'll accelerate growth a lot more in the future. So with this, I want to thank you all for your participation today.